Hey Mason, July 9th, 2026. Today, we are diving into a high-speed look at the latest research keeping our community-governed models accurate, followed by our weekly native language tech roundup to see what is happening across the landscape. We have some fascinating updates on how fine-tuning on community-approved texts is reducing hallucinations in our retrieval-augmented generation pipelines. It is a big week for sovereignty-focused engineering, so let us get straight to the radar briefing to see what the newest papers are telling us about scaling these specialized models without losing the nuance of the spoken word. Moving from our discussion on data governance, let us look at the latest research developments that impact our technical approach. Speaker, a major theme in recent papers involves improving how models handle low-resource languages through cross-lingual transfer and reasoning. For example, a study by Andrea Alfarano and several colleagues examines how reasoning capabilities in English can actually improve performance in other lower-resource languages. This is a vital concept for our work as it suggests we can leverage high-resource reasoning patterns to bolster our Lakota models. Similarly, Lukmal Ilyas and Nividu Jayatilike have explored cross-lingual transfer learning specifically for speech recognition, moving from Sinhala to Devehi. This provides a technical roadmap for how we might adapt speech models for Lakota using data-efficient transfer methods. Seni Bwaite. We are also seeing a push to address the specific challenges of complex scripts and cultural preservation. One paper by Aparna Madhva and her co-authors argues for rethinking artificial intelligence through the lens of cultural heritage preservation, which mirrors our own mission of language sovereignty. This is complemented by research from Berte Bayar-Saikun, Saren Kim, and Baru Chang, who studied cognitive pivot translation for the Mongolian language. Their work on handling traditional scripts and the ambiguities that arise from different writing systems is directly applicable to our efforts with legacy Lakota texts and non-standard orthographies. Furthermore, Darina Dementieva and her team have worked on extending mathematical reasoning evaluations to languages beyond the most common ones, highlighting the ongoing gap in how we measure intelligence in underrepresented linguistic contexts. Finally, there is a renewed focus on the reliability and faithfulness of the information these models provide. Felix Feldman and a team of researchers conducted a systematic evaluation of retrieval-augmented generation configurations, specifically looking at how retrieval quality affects the accuracy of answers. Since our entire pipeline relies on grounding the model in community-approved books, their findings on how to ensure a model remains faithful to its source material are essential for our evaluation stages. Together, these studies reinforce the need for a multi-layered approach that combines robust retrieval, cross-lingual transfer, and a deep respect for the unique script and cultural requirements of the language. Moving from the technical specifics of model training to the broader landscape of global policy, this week's news shows a growing tension between massive corporate platforms and the push for true indigenous technological sovereignty. Speaker, we begin with a significant development in New Zealand, where Google has launched a new voice for Google Maps designed to improve the pronunciation of Te Reo Māori, the Māori language. For years, users have complained about the platform's inability to correctly pronounce Māori city and town names. To fix this, Google partnered with Te Tauira Whuri I Te Reo Māori, which is the Māori Language Commission. They spent roughly 6 months training a new artificial intelligence text-to-speech voice using a native speaker from New Zealand. This update is rolling out over a two-week period, with plans to eventually include streets and roads. Ngahihui Apanui Bar, the chief executive of the Māori Language Commission, described this as a step toward securing the language's future in the digital age. For the Lakota community, this story offers a nuanced lesson in the difference between corporate inclusion and community control. While it is a victory to hear one's language respected by a global utility like Google Maps, the underlying infrastructure remains entirely owned and operated by a multinational corporation. The Māori Language Commission acted as a partner to ensure accuracy, which is a vital step for linguistic dignity, but the data and the model itself are not under Māori ownership. This highlights a recurring theme in our work, Waiūs Upariri. How do we move from being consulted by big tech to actually owning the tools that speak our languages? Speaker, this distinction between being a consultant and being a sovereign owner is at the heart of a deep analytical piece published this week regarding the three types of sovereignty in the age of artificial intelligence. The analysis argues that we are seeing a three-way contest between state sovereignty, corporate sovereignty, and indigenous techno-sovereignty. The author points out that traditional ideas of national sovereignty are failing to account for how power actually flows through corporate-controlled digital infrastructure. The piece highlights two powerful examples of what true techno-sovereignty looks like. First, it mentions Te Hiku Media, a Māori media organization that developed its own 92% accurate speech recognition model for the Māori language. Unlike the Google Maps update, Tehiku Media maintains control over its own data and its own models. Second, it points to the First Languages Artificial Intelligence Reality Project. The analysis concludes that to protect indigenous interests, we must move toward federated architectures, data trusts, and permanent indigenous representation in the bodies that set global artificial intelligence standards. For Lakota developers, this reinforces the importance of building local, community-governed systems rather than waiting for a Silicon Valley update to fix our pronunciation errors. While large-scale models grab the headlines, smaller, grassroots applications are already changing how people interact with indigenous landscapes. In the United States, a Navajo educator named George R. Joe has spent 3 years developing a mobile application called Tribal Trails. This is a GPS-activated audio tour app designed to provide a native lens on historic routes, such as the paths between Gallup and Flagstaff or Flagstaff and Phoenix. As people drive these routes, the app narrates the cultural and historical context of the lands belonging to the Navajo, Zuni, and Acoma peoples. Joe's goal is to correct the misconceptions that tourists often hold about Native peoples and their relationship to the land. He is currently in the second phase of development, expanding the app to include areas around Albuquerque and Santa Fe. This project is a beautiful example of using technology to reclaim narrative sovereignty. It is not just about providing information, it is about using digital tools to assert presence and correct the historical record in real time. It shows how localized, specialized applications can serve community needs in ways that massive, generalized models cannot. Speaker. However, as these technologies become more prevalent, the risks of extraction grow. During a recent side event to the United Nations Global Dialogue on Artificial Intelligence Governance, experts examined the growing artificial intelligence divide in South Asia. The discussion focused on a troubling trend, whether nations are building genuine sovereign capacity or simply creating a more sophisticated form of dependency on foreign technology. A major concern raised was how the ecological knowledge, territorial records, and oral traditions of indigenous and tribal communities are being sucked into artificial intelligence systems without consent. This is happening across various jurisdictions where there is no clear, accountable actor to protect these communities, even though international obligations like the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples exist to prevent such exploitation. This risk of extraction is echoed in a recent report marking 50 years of the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Week in Australia. The report argues that artificial intelligence risks becoming just another extractive force toward Indigenous knowledge unless it is built on the foundations of consent, credit, and return. The piece cites a positive example of how this should work. Aboriginal medical clinics in regional Western Australia are trialing artificial intelligence-assisted screening for diabetic retinopathy. This is presented as a model of doing it right because the technology is being applied to serve the specific health needs of the community. The report calls for Indigenous knowledge systems and Indigenous data sovereignty principles, such as the CARE and OCAP principles, to be mandatory foundations for all artificial intelligence development, rather than just being treated as optional ethical add-ons. When we weave these stories together, a clear pattern emerges. We see the spectrum of engagement, from Google's top-down approach to improve pronunciation, to George R. Joe's bottom-up approach to reclaim history, to the high-level warnings from the United Nations and Australian scholars about the dangers of digital extraction. For the Lakota community, the takeaway is clear. Improving the accuracy of how our language sounds in a digital space is important, but it is only one part of the journey. The real work lies in the middle ground, building the tools ourselves, like the Navajo educator did, and ensuring that our data is governed by our own laws and our own people, as the Maori and Australian examples suggest. We are not just looking for better pronunciation, we are looking for the power to decide how our language, our knowledge, and our stories are used in the digital age. That concludes our weekly roundup of the latest research and technological developments in native languages. We hope these updates provide valuable insights into how computational tools are being shaped by Indigenous communities. Thank you for joining us for this look at the intersection of linguistics and machine learning. That is all for this week, Mason. We will be back next time with more stories from the field.